Dr. David Smaldvich is here today. He's the head of the balance disorders at the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital. He is answering your questions, if you have any, 1300 222 774, or text 0437 774 774. Dr. David Smaldvich, thank you for coming in today. We almost didn't have you because as you were writing to the ABC, you kind of were a doctor on the scene.
I was. So some poor chap in his wet weather had come off his bike and injured his leg and was getting very, very cold. So
you were just riding past and saw him?
I was just riding past and saw him, absolutely.
And what did you have to do?
So an ambulance had been called, made sure that he hadn't hit his head, was thinking and could remember everything properly, make sure that his leg was still, because particularly if there's a broken bone, movement is what causes most of the pain, and then make sure the poor chap was warm because it's cold and wet outside.
And he's looking okay?
He's looking okay.
Wow.
Thankfully.
We did get calls from you saying, I'm late, I'm helping someone on the road. And then you arrived. If you could only see Dr. David now, he is in what I would call a SEALS outfit. It almost looks like a wetsuit with a bit of high vis and bright, bright fluoro yellow, I wouldn't even call them shoes. They're like shiny socks. It's your wet weather bike riding gear.
It is indeed.
If you hurt yourself, you're the one you want on the scene.
<He's> like, no comment.
He's a superman. Listen, balance disorders are very common, and you know the reason why I've been thinking about it lately is a family member woke up with waves going through their head. They felt like they were in the ocean. Ended up going to the doctor, and the doctor said that they had vertigo. And at that point, they didn't know if it was going to last 24 hours or ongoing. And I started doing a bit of research into it. Not only is it very common, but it's very severe and can cause people a lot of distress. What is vertigo?
So vertigo describes the experience of the patient, so what we call a symptom. And really it's an illusion or a sensation of movement where there's not movement. So people may say, I got out of bed and suddenly the bedroom was spinning round as if I was on a merry-go-round. Some people describe movement within themselves or of themselves. So it felt like the inside of my head was spinning, or I was rocking. Some people give some fairly interesting descriptions of walking along, and it's as if the footpath is on an angle and they know it's not on an angle, but for them it feels like they're tilted.
So what is actually happening inside the body?
Yeah, so there are a number of causes. The most common conditions that cause vertigo come from the inner ear balance or vestibular system, but they can also come from the brain, particularly the coordination part of the brain called the cerebellum, which means little brain. And then there are some very common causes, such as blood pressure dropping when you stand up. So when we stand up, there's a part of our nervous system called the automatic or autonomic nervous system, because thankfully we don't have to think about it for it to happen. And it makes sure that the blood doesn't all sink into our feet and we get all lightheaded. But for a number of reasons, that system can malfunction. And while people think of lightheadedness, that feeling that you described earlier when you stand up quickly and you feel like you're going to pass out, some people will actually describe vertigo. So lots of causes.
And sometimes you can't just take one sort of advice. You do have to see a specialist in this case.
Yeah, so it is complicated. And while there are general treatments, the treatments that are most effective are the treatments that are tailored specifically for the cause. And so obviously then we have to find the cause. And for us, the first question is usually, is this a brain cause? Is this an inner ear balance mechanism cause? Or increasingly, there are conditions that affect both the brain and inner ear. And I'm a little biased because this is an area of interest in the research we do. So it can be either and or.
Tony, good morning.
Oh, yes, good morning, and good morning, Doctor. I had an attack of labyrinthitis about 3 years ago. It came on extremely suddenly, instantaneously, when I stood up, and I was in bed for about a week. And since that time, I've done work at the Alfred and been with a neurologist and so forth. But as it was explained to me, it was a viral infection of nerve endings in the inner ear. And it's a condition that comes and goes. I still have it virtually daily. Sometimes it's more severe, and certainly when I think I'm on slopes. So the way it's been explained to me is that the damage, because I'm in my 60s, the damage to the nerve endings could be such that at my age, those sorts of things may never fully repair themselves and consequently may well be... this condition may well be with me for forever.
All right, David, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so the first thing to say is that labyrinthitis, as Tony said, is an infection that affects the inner ear. Now, maybe I'll just take a moment to explain that the ear has three compartments. So there's the outer ear, the part that we can explore with our finger or a towel. Then there's the middle ear, which is the inside of the eardrum, which we cannot access, and which is the part of the ear that children often get infections when they have sore ears. And then there's the inner ear. So this is deep in under the brain, and this is the part that houses the balance and hearing mechanisms. And so a virus that affects the inner ear is very different to one that affects the middle ear. It's not one where the doctor can have a look with a special torch and see what's going on. So that's the first thing to say. The second thing to say is that labyrinthitis, by definition, affects both the hearing and the balance. So it's usually sudden onset, loss of hearing and balance in the same ear. There are equivalent conditions that affect either the hearing or the balance. So the hearing condition is called sudden sensory neural hearing loss, and the pure loss of inner ear balance function is called vestibular neuronitis. So labyrinthitis is unfortunate because really it affects two of our key senses, being balance and hearing. And yes, a virus affects infects the nerve endings, perhaps also damaging part of the inner ear balance mechanism. The response of the body is inflammation, which causes swelling, and that can tend to squeeze the nerve and affect its function. Nerves don't like having pressure put on them. And then, as Tony intimated, recovery in the ear is usually incomplete, so people will be left with some degree of hearing loss and some degree of inner ear balance mechanism loss. However, we have other mechanisms by which we can compensate or correct our balance, and this is because our brains are very plastic, they can adapt. And really, in the case of labyrinthitis, there will be a little bit of what we call peripheral recovery. So the inner ear balance mechanism will recover somewhat, but the rest of the recovery will be adaptation. And the only therapy that we know that can help that from research evidence is in fact vestibular physiotherapy or vestibular rehabilitation, which aims to encourage the brain to find other ways of sourcing information to work out where you are in space and that you're upright.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Maureen, good morning.
Good morning.
What's your question?
I'd like to know, has the doctor heard of MDDS, Maldaday-Barkman syndrome? And if so, does he have many patients or or does he know many people that have it? Because I've heard it's very rare. I went on a 5-week cruise, and my brain hasn't switched off. It thinks I'm still at sea.
All right, doctor.
All right. So, yes, so mal de débarquement syndrome, or in English, disembarkation syndrome, describes exactly what Maureen has told us. The classic is disembarkation from a ship, normally a cruise of some length. And most of us, when we get off a ship, will feel like we're a little imbalanced initially. But for people with this syndrome, that sensation is ongoing. And it tends to be rather constant, so it's very unpleasant. One of the unusual features is that people will often feel better during motion rather than being still. And as you can imagine, with most balance conditions or imbalance, you feel better when you're still, not when you're moving. But this is one of the oddities of MDDS. So it is said to be rare, but I have to say that we do see quite a few patients with it. I think that the diagnosis perhaps is not made often enough, and that gives the impression that it's more rare than it actually is.
Okay, Joe, good morning.
Good morning.
What's your question?
My question is, I've got severe vertigo, and listening to your explanation to the first gentleman makes me wonder. I've also got temporal arterioritis. Would that be the cause of it?
So temporal arteritis is where there's an inflammation of one of the important arteries on the outer aspect of your head near your temples, and that can certainly affect a number of things, but tends really to affect vision more than it does balance. So it's more likely to be an independent cause than it is to be related to the temporal arteritis.
All right. Thank you very much. Also on the line, 1-300-222-774, Carol, hello.
Oh, yes, hello. Yes, look, I'm ringing because I believe there's a huge elephant in the room that experts do overlook as far as one of the possible causes of vertigo, because I myself am a human canary and I've also studied as a medical scientist in haematology years ago. But I know for a fact that since, for instance, smart meters have started up, I know that there's a doctor, actually, Norman, she herself developed terrible dizziness and nausea.
Mm.
I myself have had balance problems and dizziness when someone's used a mobile phone in a car and I've actually fallen out.
So the idea of maybe waves having an effect?
Yeah, so there's certainly concern about mobile phones, and there are some people who are concerned about EMR or electromagnetic radiation, but to date there's no convincing research evidence that these, particularly with relation to smart meters or mobile phones, adversely affect our health.
All right. Also on the line, Trudy, hello.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
My question is, I've got a bit of a puzzling thing. It doesn't seem to be, well, I always thought vertigo was spinning, but since I've, you know, had a bit of a listen, it's also that rocking motion. I got off a plane in October last year, and within an hour, everything was rocking. And I was really sensitive to smells, and I didn't know what was wrong. I was in Japan at the time, so I didn't have a doctor to ring. But it lasted about a couple of months, where everywhere I walked, it was like I was standing on a trampoline. But the mysterious thing was, is every time I got back on either a plane or a bus or a car, the symptoms would go away.
Yeah, so, I mean, what you describe certainly are some of the features of MDDS or mal de débarquement syndrome, and it does not have to be a ship that you disembark. It can also be a plane. And it's interesting that you describe that you found smells to be unpleasant, because the exact mechanism of MDDS is uncertain and there's a lot of research going on. But clinically, there seems to be a subset of people who have MDDS who also have migraine, and not being able to tolerate normal stimuli such as bright light, noises or smells may be one of the features of migraine. So there may well be a link there.
Andrew, hello.
Oh, good morning. My father-in-law has just had some major operation to stop him hearing the blood run through his blood vessels in his head. and to stop his heart, stop hearing his heart. They've had to go into the inner ear to some major surgery to lift up the ear and go into the inner ear and put some sort of barrier in. I was wondering whether the doctor could maybe explain that a little more.
Yeah, so it sounds like the operation that your father-in-law may have had was to treat a condition called semicircular canal dehiscence. So here the important structures in the inner ear are our semicircular canals, little balance canals. We have three of them per ear, and they're normally encased in bone. However, some people have a fault in the roof of the bone. This is termed dehiscence. And then the canals, because they're fluid, they're full of fluid, can actually bulge. And one of the interesting features of this condition is what's called autophony. And autophony is the ability to hear your own bodily processes. So I often describe it as a sort of bionic hearing. So people will be able to hear, for example, clicking of their eyes as they move side to side. They may be able to hear their footsteps very loudly, or in fact hear the footsteps of others at a greater distance than would be expected.
All right. Doctor, we could have you here for hours, but unfortunately we have to move on. Thank you for coming in. We will have you back in the program when Libby's back on board. So to those we couldn't get to today, please make sure you hear out for a doctor returning. If people do have a concern about a balance or a vertigo disorder, where do you think they should head?
Yeah, so in terms of accessibility, we have, as you said, the Balance Disorder Clinic at the Eye and Ear Hospital. And if you're interested in coming to see us, then all you need is a GP referral.
Dr. David Smolovich on ABC Radio. He is the head of Balance Disorders at the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital.